as we started last week, somebody wants to come get these, pass these out, to avoid, if you don't have one, to avoid stumbling and falling. To avoid stumbling and falling. Thank you so much, sister. I appreciate it. And let me kind of go over a quick review of why this is so important, because as we were talking about in the question and answer portion of this, that there is an accountability or a responsibility we all go through. And in the beginning of this, as we went over last week, and we'll read that one again, then I'll kind of go over review what we just went over. The process of stumbling and falling is shown in James 1, 13 through 15. In fact, he shows the evolution of sin in our lives. It's, you know, if you don't know it any better, you'll make a mistake of thinking the way I think, oh, well, I'm bad anyway. But he shows us in James 1, 13 through 15, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. The concept here, when you see, first of all, by his own evil desires, he's showing what makes us stumble. That's the first thing. So Satan uses us to make us stumble. Keep that in mind. Very important. So the thing that does it is us. Okay? And the stumble part is dragged away and enticed. If I were to stop there, I have not sinned. And that's when the desire is so strong, you're hinting around, how can I get away with doing it? You're getting closer to doing it. It's that verse when it says, when a man lusts after a woman, he already committed adultery with her in his heart. That means his purpose is all in the wrong path. That's this part right here. However, it says, after desire has conceived, that's the fall. Y'all catch that? After desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. Now, praise God for repentance, because we could repent and then, you know, cleanse that and move on. But when a person stays in sin, this is when sin is full grown, that's now you're living in sin. Then you're headed for death, which is hell. Do you see how that works? So that shows that process that we all go through with this, okay? And everybody stumbles. Why? Because we just went over the sermon, desires. All of us have desires. And desires are God-given. Desires aren't bad. We want all of our desires. He gave us the desires in order for us to follow him. Think about that. Remember, if he forced us just to follow him, we'd be robots. But he gave us desires in order for us to enjoy but still follow him. Does that make sense? That attitude of, I want this, but God comes first. So he always gave us desires with boundaries. And desire is a nice thing, because I can mold myself and do whatever, but with being molded by him, I can, you know, have that own. That's why I can like something and you don't have to like it. You don't understand that. However, mine still never rules. It's never, ever the purpose, if that makes sense. Okay, so we have to make sure that that never gets in the way. So as we've seen, it showed everybody stumbles, and falling is actually a choice, and we tend to make the wrong choice. That's the problem. From the very beginning, he made very clear, in one essence, we've seen the one fall. Do not eat off the tree. The stumbling part you saw when she was talking to the serpent, that's the stumbling. It wasn't until she took some, she ate it, gave it to her husband, he ate. That was the fall. And that fall was a great fall. You understand? It was huge. He said, if you do it, you will die. And that's what sin, the wages of sin is death. Okay? And that's where sacrifice and all that had to come in. So the causes of, we already know it comes from our desires. So what things trigger our desires to do it? And we've seen some of them. The world's purpose is a sin magnet. The world's purpose now, since the fall of man, is now catering to us. Think about that. So the world wants to make me everything I want. What's the matter with that? It's about me. You got where I'm coming from. Remember that whole thing where he says, anyone who loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. And then it breaks it down, and the three things are about me, right? The cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting about what he hasn't done. You know, so it's all about me, and the world caters to that. And that's why he said, that's why the world is going to be destroyed. If we keep trying to make the world a better place, you're fighting something where you already said, no. This is the devil's playground. That's not for you to fix. You're never supposed to fix the world. So junk, you know, when we go, oh, this world is really getting worse. Sometimes when we say stuff like that, we don't realize it's foolish because it's already worse. It's already bad. You know what I mean? We almost kind of give credit as if there was a time when it was better. and it really wasn't. Now, there was some growing that happened, but we were always evil. That's why this world is evil. That's why our citizenship is in heaven. That's what we have to keep in mind. But if I get any thought of, especially us old people, them kids, when we were in Houston, sometimes we'll say it almost as we were some wholesome, and we know, no. You understand? And the reason why I know, because the Bible lets me know, all are evil. So you hear some parents, no, they were a good kid. Based on your standards, because you took it and you, do you understand that? But when I recognize all are evil, that's when we focus on God and we raise our kids in God. When we focus on the world will go, no, they're not bad. They're okay. Even today, we give excuses and medications and stuff like that. All right? So, you know, we are in the times where people are looking to glorify our desires instead of glorifying God. And that's a big part of it. And Christian lives for freedoms, what I want. I should have it, entitlement. But that's what I wanted to do. You'll hear people with Christians still say, but that's what I wanted. Right? In fact, I heard one Christian, and he was clear about it, and he's not the first I heard it, but I heard it from a bunch of Christians saying something like this. You have some that are really giving Christians. Now, in world war settings, you don't always get back in that same way. And after a while, you're like, I'm tired of being the one always. Why do I always have to be the one to give? Do you get where I'm coming from? And humans struggle with that. So we try to give just enough that we don't miss out. And that's the age we're in now. I mean, we're really getting stronger on, I'm not going to miss out anymore. I'll still do, but I'm not going to miss out. It's still the age of me. True Christian is, I'm a give, and if I don't get, you know, when Paul said the ultimate, I'll never eat meat again if it'll make my brother fall. He's showing, I don't care if it makes that person fall, I'll never eat meat again. And that's the extreme we're supposed to go to. Ours is, all right, I won't eat meat around him. All right, I just won't. You know, we'll somehow compromise in order that I don't miss out. You know what I mean? And think about it. And that's all Christians today. And it's dangerous for us to cause others to sin. You know, when that's why he says woe to the world, because it's going to happen. But when I allow the world to allow me to be the cause, to cause you to sin. So Satan uses everything he can that is touching or used by the world. And a Christian who tries to be justified by anything other than faith is in Jesus is falling from grace. He makes that very clear. Grace is something that we're in, and we have that opportunity to stay in it. But if I depend on anything other than Christ, I fell from it. Grace is a complete trust in him. So where we last left off is the love of money is a big reason for Christian falling, right? Okay, good. So it says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. The reason why that's so important is the love of money may affect me different than it affects you. Some may love it so much that they go spend it and buy everything in the world and they just want more of it. Some of them love it so much that they go hoard it, and I just want a whole lot of it. And it looks like I'm being very, you know, you ever see them, they'll show some billionaires and they're driving around in a Prius. You understand that? And it's like, that's why they're rich. And we're like, wow, that's why they're rich. Not realizing, though, that they're letting that money still rule them in another way. Do you understand that? And it's different types of evil how we do it. That's why when we get companies and you see these billion-dollar companies pay their people the worst because they're billion-dollar companies. You get small companies, and they take their time, and they look out for their people, and then they try to create, you know, where we're going to work with you, we're going to do this, and they try to create the family thing. When they get big, it's about the bottom line. Make more money. I need to make more money. And it, you know, but you see it, and it's in different kinds. And that's why it says some people eager for money have wandered from the faith. And it's so common today, we don't know what that looks like because it's common. Does that make sense? Wandering from the faith is such a common thing. And it can come in the extreme of me stealing or going out to make more money or something as basic as my job. You understand that? In which my job has more of a rule over me than God. Amen? Okay? You'll hear people go, I really need to go to church, but my job. Instead of going, you know what, if this job keeps taking me from church, then I'm going to. Do you see where I'm going? There's a difference in that. But he's saying because of that love, people are wandered from the faith, and watch this, and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, let me, a sidebar here. You know how we, on Sermon on the Mount, where he says, blessed are. And y'all know what blessed means, right? Anybody remember this? Blessed, happy. Okay? And the key in that, if you read that, none of them sound happy. Okay? And the key to that is, blessed is telling me what happiness is. He's saying, this is when you're happy. Not when I think I feel happy. Same thing with this. When it says pierce themselves with many griefs, there's so many people that go through something that thinks it makes them feel good, while in reality it's causing grief. Think about that. You're really in a bad state, but you think you're happy. Okay, keep that in mind, because I think sometimes we read God's word, especially like when we read joy, and we're looking for this emotion. We're looking for this, oh, and then I'm going to get. No, those are things that put us in danger in the first place. That euphoria, that fleshly feeling. If God tells me that's when I'm happy, then I'm happy. You know what I mean? So when he tells me, Keith, you're in this spot and you're happy, that's like he told the Smyrna church. He said, you're afflicted and you're in poverty, yet you're rich. But he told the other ones who thought they were good and everything and laid us in, and he told them, no, you're pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. He's like, I'm telling you what you are. You don't recognize it. Does that make sense? Okay? And this is why we have to go to him and we have to lean upon him. If not, you'll go by how you feel, thinking, well, I was happy. I felt good about it. I was relaxing the way I feel about it. You see how we do that? And we've gotten so deep into that. That's why this Bible, sometimes we're going, well, I struggle with this. Right? And it shows, if you are not informed and focused, the Christian lifestyle could cause you to fall. Think about that. Matthew 13 shows us this. Matthew 13, 20 through 21. It says, the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky place is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. So that's the first thing. They come to church, they want to receive it. Remember, God doesn't take role, and I'm not saying he doesn't care. He put church here for you, but it wasn't for an enjoyment. It wasn't for something to make you feel better. It was something to keep you in the path that you're supposed to go. So when it says received with joy, that person's going, and they're there going, doing exactly what they're supposed to. I'm supposed to receive the word. I get it. I understand it. All that's great, but watch what he says here. But since he has no root, and that's the key there, because root means I'm a Christian. Remember, a question was being asked about, we'll be acquitted or we'll be condemned on the words we say. And in salvation, it's when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So if I'm saying he's Lord, my root will be I'm a Christian. So I'm going to dislike some things. I'm going to really like some things. But nothing will be done until my Lord says so. That's root. Do you understand it? We do what we want, and we hope God just forgives us, just lets us do. So if you're very careful, a lot of our roots is still us or our family or our money. Or our desires. Or do you get where I'm going with this? You'll see whatever your purpose is your root. And that's why I'm saying this person's going to church. And if I go to church to make me feel good, and that's my root, I can go through the motions, but I have no root. And like what he says, has no root. He lasts only a short time. How many times do you see people come to church? And sometimes, especially the ones that when they come back or something like that, and they have their books and they're studying and they're gung-ho. Then it dies down. And then it dies down. And then they're non-existent. And why? Because they have no root. You can't force it. If they have no roots, you know what I mean? And it says, when trouble or persecution, watch this, because of the word, when they come because of the word, he quickly falls away. Now, sometimes when we think of persecution, we always think somebody's going to come and throw us in jail or try to stone us. No, I don't think any of us really experienced that. Most persecution is, there's something I want to do, and I can't do it because God says I can't do it. But the world has still stopped me from doing it. I may not get a job, may not get in a relationship, may not get what I want. That's a persecution or, you know what I mean, or a trouble. It's something that I'm like, ugh, and I know I can't do it, but man, I could really do well if I did, but I know I can't, and I'm missing out, but I can't, you know what I mean? Then we fall away. Did y'all catch that? Okay? So if my root, if my foundation is not him, even going to church and following the Bible is meaningless. I have to really, as a Christian, say he is my purpose. That's why he says, before you come to me, you must deny yourself. And most have not. Most have come with themselves. Think about it. They came for God to serve them. Right? I wasn't happy, so I'm going to try this. I heard somebody say that to me once, and it was like, oh. I had to keep ministering to them because that was their whole thing of, I come, and on the surface it sounds, oh, okay, that's good. No, that's not your reason. Your reason is not your happiness, because in fact, your happiness is what got you in trouble, because you think your happiness is right. Amen? Okay? That's why people harm themselves when they think it makes them happy. Luke 7:23 says, blessed is a man, watch what he says here, who does not fall away on account of me. Sometimes when people read that, they're kind of, wait, fall away on account of Christ? Exactly. Exactly. Because he's saying Christ is going to say some things that are not popular and don't feel good. And you don't get a concession prize or anything for it. You don't get something for it. In other words, in movies, you do it because Christ did it, but you get this prize over here. Now, eventually you will, but I'm talking about in life here. You don't always get that. You know what I mean? When you told your friends, well, I'm not doing that, and then the people leave you. I told you about the gentleman and the young man, and him and the girl were young Christians, and he said to her, I want to wait. They both said they're going to wait, you know, until they get married and all this other stuff to have sex. As they went to school together and stuff like that, she decided, no, I think we should if we love each other. And she said all this stuff. And he was like, no, I'm going to wait. So she left him and went with somebody else. And then he would see her on campus with this guy all the time. And it's killing. And in his mind, he's like, I did the right thing. So why am I being punished? Y'all see the problem? By sight, why am I being punished? I did the right thing. And now, praise God, he was able to stick in it long enough to come out to realize, you know what, when I thought I was being punished, it wasn't. It was something that I thought, you know what I mean, by my sight. And if people don't get that, that's why people go, see, when I did good, I didn't get anything for it, so I'm not doing good anymore. And this is where Christians really mess up. And that's what Jesus means. Blessed is a man who doesn't fall away on account of me. There's some things he's going to have us do that are not comfortable, that don't feel good. But when I am completely rooted in him, I'm like, amen. Like Job. Job was ready to give and got to take, you know, all the stuff that God gave him, and he was ready to let it all go. He was like, whatever you want, God. His only thing was, am I cool with you? And that's the whole thing. So we understand these are the core things that make us stumble and fall. Okay, remember, and it comes from our desire. If I didn't have desire, in other words, if I did the key, and we're going to really see how to stop stumbling and falling, if I didn't allow my desires to rule me, there wouldn't be no stumbling and falling. I'm giving you the answer now. Problem is, not going to happen. Amen. The whole denying yourself is what we're supposed to live for. I almost always check with God before I go in here. God, not my will, but your will be done. That's my whole life. It should be that. We go with I hope nobody's going to mess up my day today. I hope I can have a good day today. I hope I'm happy today. I hope. You see where I'm coming from? And we don't realize we're still putting ourselves before him. Does everybody get that? And that's what's killing us. So how to avoid stumbling and falling? First of all, the ingredients to not falling is what we go over to when we said the name of the sermon was the recipe, or was it, or the ingredients to perfection. Amen. And 2 Peter 1:3-11 first starts off with the answer. You already have what you need. He says his divine power has is past tense. So you already have it. His divine power has given us everything. Everybody say everything. And that's what? All we need. Everything we need for life and godliness. Two things. So he gave me everything I need as a Christian to live my life as a Christian and to be godly. You have full access. So you can't say I can't. I was listening to somebody the one time they were talking, this one minister man, he's a brilliant guy. The danger is people listen to him with a, wow, he's a scholar. You ever hear that term, Bible scholar, and stuff like that? The danger with that is we all have access to the scholar we need. You know, we all have access to the understanding of the word that we need. The problem is we let these people wow us, and we think, I'll never reach that level. And so then we stop, and we live in that, well, I'm not as smart as him, or I'm not. And God's like, no, I gave you everything you need to be godly. There is no excuse. Stop using these excuses. If he told me I get everything I need, then I have everything I need. But then he shows me how to get access to everything I need through our knowledge of him. Remember, knowledge comes from Greek word gnosis, which means relationship. And not just relationship, intimate relationship. Okay? So I have to have that intimate relationship with Christ. You understand that? That intimate. So in my intimate relationship with him, I understand what he has given me in order to live a godly life. I don't have an intimate relationship with Christ. You'll have this box that says everything you need, and you'll open it and go, I have no idea what to do. I don't know how this works, and you'll push it over in the corner. Do you still have everything you need? Absolutely. But is it doing you any good? No. Y'all got one cover. But the more you have that relationship, you'll go, oh, I seen that in the box. And you'll go use that in life. Oh, and the more we grow in him, what's that relationship? As I'm staying in the word, and that's where the studying and stuff comes in, and the asking questions, and the getting to know him. And the reason why, like when we have question and answer, or even in church or during a sermon, some things you don't get. Y'all do know that's purposely done, because getting to know somebody, you get to know them. So you'll get a question. I'll answer and you'll go, still don't. You're taking notes. Why? Because you're trying to get to know him. But if somebody just goes, you know what, I'm not even going to try. You're not trying to get to know him. Y'all get that? to truly try to get to know him, I want to know what Christ is saying. You'll spend times, there's stuff I know I didn't get for years, and then it hit me. But it took me continue pursuing it because I was like, I have to because I got to get to know him. When I would just go, oh, well, no big deal. I'm lying to myself. And then I won't have access to the things that I already have. It says through our knowledge of him. And he says, who called us by his own glory and goodness. In other words, he did this for his purpose. So he wants to make sure we're representing him. Through these, look what he has given us. He has given us his very great and precious promise so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by, hear that again, evil desires. Now break this down. What did he say? So I can participate in the divine nature. Right now, we're still mortal. But he's letting me know I can not only be spiritual, but I can be wholly spiritual. Y'all get this? I can participate in something that I don't really have access to through me accessing what he gave me. Do y'all understand? We can do supernatural. And supernatural doesn't always just mean the healing and the spiritual acts that wondrous, miraculous signs and stuff like that. No, it'll mean I beat my body. It means I'm going through a storm, but I'm still at peace. It means I really want something, but I'm destroying strongholds. Do you see where I'm going with this? In other words, why are you able to do that? These are the supernatural things that that box that he's given us has. When I have a relationship with him, I'll be able to go through things and be godly. You know what I mean? Stephen, what he went through made no sense to us if you really look at it. He was being stoned to death and had the frame of spirit to say, Lord, forgive them for this sin. Right? I think if they just threw a rock at you, you're like, I can't believe he threw a rock at me. God, that one, right there, zap him. I want him hit. I want him, right? I can't stop thinking about what he that guy threw a rock at me. No, he's immediately divine nature. Do you see that? And escape the corruption in the world, and it didn't say caused by Satan. Didn't say caused by movies. Didn't say caused by music. No, it caused by us. The corruption came from us. Right? God, as he makes everything else perfect, and he allows the perfection to either go or not. And we had that control. We destroyed it because of our desires. The first desire, and it's been going that way ever since. And we still have that. We still live based on our desires. And our biggest desire is God to live for our desires. I get it. I feel that. And you're always going to feel. But what are you going to be is what God is asking. So then he shows us. So he broke it down for us and said, that's what this all is. Okay, so verse 5, that's why he's saying so. And he's showing us a good way of having that knowledge or that relationship. How do you do that? He said, for that very reason, make every effort to. Let me stop there for a minute. I'm going to say that again. For this very reason, since you know this is the everything that you have access to, he said, for this very reason, make every effort to. Now, I was telling the church, and I tell the board this all the time, we have groups, we have things throughout the week, and I was like, even if people don't come, we got to still have them because we got to be part of that effort. I have to offer every chance, every time, every effort. Do you get where I'm coming from? And that's our job as the body of church. We're supposed to offer that, and then you are to make it. But do we take it is the question. Unfortunately, we don't. You know, we come up with other reasons. Well, I had to do this. I got this other stuff. We, once again, invest more in the temporary, and I'll catch up with the eternal. Right? That means I'm investing in something that's going to go away no matter what I do, instead of investing in something that's going to be forever. So he starts off with make every effort to. So if a Christian caught this, they wouldn't miss anything. They're not only miss anything, they'd be driving me crazy going, Pastor, can we have another one? I need to know this. Can we do this? Do you get where I'm coming from? Because you need to make every effort to. Since I already know this is my access to him, I need to do what? Make every effort to, watch this, to add to your faith goodness. So first of all, faith, because to be a Christian, faith is what everybody comes in with, faith. But he's saying add to that faith goodness. All right? Not just have goodness, I have to add it to my faith. Do y'all understand that? So it's a combination of how this whole entire thing works. And not to give away the whole sermon, I'm just going to go through each of these, but we'll do the sermon sometime to really give detail on what each of these mean. But you're adding, if you notice, adding to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge. So I'm adding already my goodness to my faith, and I'm going to add to that goodness knowledge. Okay, this is a process, and it has to be done in this order. And to knowledge, self-control. Okay, so I have to add self-control to that knowledge. And to self-control, perseverance. You see how this works? And it's a combination of how this works and how I'm going to grow and how my relationship. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And love's always going to be last, but it's always the most important because it's the one that binds everything together. Okay? And he's saying all these ingredients in that order, and how much of it? He shows us. If you possess these qualities in increasing measures. Everybody say increasing. Now, what he didn't say was a whole lot. He says increasing. That doesn't mean I buy the whole package and dump it in. No, it means I keep giving more and more each day. More and more. That's maturity. So I'm growing more and more with these every day. He says, if you possess these qualities in increasing. Increasing is a process. It's a, you know, it's something that's happening. It's not something that happened. He didn't say with a whole lot. You know what I mean? As an adjective, he gave us a verb, increasing. So it's something that continually happening. So if I possess these and it continues to do this day by day, watch what he says, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Now let me stop there, because what I see today is a lot of Christians on their own trying to be not to be ineffective and unproductive. But did you notice here, and this kind of answers a lot of things for us as Christians, when I try to be it, that's me trying to do it. And that's me giving up on grace. Remember how it says, no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So all I have to do is renew my mind. He'll do the transforming. What he's saying here is, I'll make sure you're not ineffective and unproductive. Just do this part. We miss that, and we go out and try not to be ineffective and unproductive. That's why we'll go out and do good deeds. We'll joy at all these things, and we'll do what the world says is good, and we'll feel good. Until somebody asks the question, so what's the difference between the church that did good deeds and the Red Cross? And if you didn't know any better, a lot of people think, oh, God's going to come here. Oh, the Red Cross, they're going to heaven. Is that true? You know, I can show you a Muslim group, man. They're outstanding on some of the deeds they do in neighborhoods. Outstanding deeds. They're going to heaven? Yes, see where I'm going with this. Okay? And in our minds, some of us are probably going, well, I think so. Right? They're doing good stuff. And that's by sight, and that's why we get warped and we get messed up, because we try to do it. And he was like, you fell short. I gave you the only path to get to me. And just because you do good deeds, that's not going to work because you fell short. So I'm giving you the path to do it. So this is why he's saying, if you do these, they will make you so you're not ineffective or unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not just ineffective and unproductive in that relationship. Because a lot of us have no relationship with Christ, call ourselves Christian, and we don't produce anything Christ. What are we supposed to produce in Christ? Fruit. See, everybody knew that. Praise God. You got that. All right. But how come a lot of us don't then? I'm a Christian, no fruit. Remember it says, you'll know them by their fruit. How many do you go, and after you talk to them for a while, you're like, oh, you're a Christian. Why? Because you see no fruit. They were unproductive. Why were they unproductive? They go through their own motions. They do their own way of getting to know Christ. And Christ is like, remember, it wasn't the sacrifices, it was the reverence. And if somebody just said, I'm going to give a sacrifice, and you did it wrong, you died. Okay? Not giving a sacrifice, you died. The only thing that worked was giving the right sacrifice the way he said. That's it. And that's how our lives are. So you have Christians today doing Christianity their own way, you die. And that's the key. That's what he's showing us. He's saying, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager. Well, let me go on. I'm sorry, verse 9, it says, but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. I don't know how you could be both, but he's showing in there in both cases, because if you're blind, the nearsighted doesn't need to be. But he's showing us, nope, there's an effect here that we are getting. You know what I mean? And nearsighted means you can't see far. In other words, so you can't see what's coming ahead, and you just miss everything. The blind part is showing us that. So I think I got it together because of what's happening now, and I'm headed for this big hole. You know what I mean? Have you ever done something in your life? You're like, everything's really working out. And it was like, but God told you not to do it. No, everything's working out. Have you ever done that because of a feeling you felt good about a moment or whatever? Or, no, it's going to work. And it's like, but the Bible says, you're like, no. That's nearsighted. I have this moment and I think it's good. Well, I just missed. God gave me the answer what I'm headed for. And blind is you just miss it. And he says blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. In other words, you start living back for you based on you doing the things you used to do. He says, watch this, therefore, my brothers, so he's wrapping this up, my brothers, be all the more eager, that's going back to this, make every effort to, be all the more eager. Do y'all see how we have to show this urgency. We have to really put the time in. We have to be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. We're taught, once you say it, you're sure, right? Don't ever let nobody tell you you're not a Christian. He just said here, make sure it's sure. Make sure. I should be able to go, are you a Christian? You go, you know what? I got to make sure. Not, yes, I am. See, sometimes our pride comes off like, yes, I'm a Christian. And your pride will kill you. Does that make sense? You know, I had a minister one time, don't you ever let nobody tell you you're not a Christian. But what if you're not? Right? What if you're not? But your pride makes you go, I'm a Christian. I told you Steve Jobs, he had the cancer he had, very curable. All the money he had, he went to this place and they were like, oh, you're going to be healed. So I'm healed. And he just didn't, no more checkups and everything like this until something weird started happening. And they were like, now it's all over. There's nothing we can do. And then he died. Right? But you asked him before that, oh, no, I'm healed. And we do that. That's pride. Because God didn't tell me to do that. He doesn't want you to be prideful in your Christianity. He wants you to be humble. Right? Humbling is, let me make sure that I'm a Christian. Not, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Does that make sense? You know, I'd rather somebody tell me now, Keith, I don't see it. And I go, oh, I need to fix it. Then for me to go, I know you're not telling me I'm not a Christian. Y'all see the difference here? I'd rather you tell me now when I can readjust than for me to get all puffed up about it. That's what it says. Make sure, be all the more to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. That's what we were trying to get to. Do you understand this? Okay? And he gave us that whole package. He says, if you do these things, you will sometimes fall. Few times fall. Just the early times fall. No, he said, never. And y'all know what I want to put after it. There you go. Thank you. Okay. But you understand that. Never, ever. But if you do these things. What he didn't say is, if you work hard not to fall, you won't fall. Did y'all notice he didn't say that? Because you can't not make yourself, you can't stop yourself from falling. You can't do it. However, me doing this is me trusting in him, and he keeps my footing. But that's how I keep my, not me just going, I'm going out and I'm going to be a better person. You already fell. You understand that? But when I do what he told me, I'll go, whoa, I've been living my life and I never fail. But I've just been trusting in him. And that's the whole key. All right? Now watch how he continues on this, because we usually don't go further on this. He says, and you will receive a rich welcome into eternal kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this leads to that whole being with him. It goes with that. Do you understand that? It says, then you will receive. So this whole package is showing Christianity. Not a thing that some people are doing. Unfortunately, the people that are doing this are Christians, the ones that are not. Because look how he ended it. He says, and you will receive a rich welcome into eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Powerful, isn't it? Now, I see these two are stuck together, but they're two different things. Is yours stuck together where it says we must totally rely on Christ? Or is it next line? It's next line. Okay, mine on my computer is stuck together, so I just want to make sure it wasn't where it didn't look like one big thing. But do you see how that whole entire ingredients to not falling, he gave us the answer. You have all the tools you need. He gave you the access to it. Why aren't we doing it? And in that, the main reason why we're not doing it is because we're not making every effort and we're not being eager to. If we're being honest, right? We're really not. We fit God in and we want credit because we're doing better than other people in the world, right? You look around the world, they don't even fit God in. In fact, they go to churches that are only 15 minutes, right? Or something like that. And they're like, oh, man, I feel better. I'm patting myself. But is that you still making every effort? Is that you still? That's why it's called terrible times, because the number that is really going to be saved at this time is going to be the smallest ever. Only because we really built into self. We're very selfish people, and we want God to cater to us. And he's not. You know, we have these movies where you think God's going to go, oh, I feel so bad. He really means well. And he's you wicked and lazy servant. Do y'all remember that? I gave you everything you need. You just got to do it. And you keep turning around because of you. Y'all see this? Everybody get this? Amen? All right. So we must totally rely on Christ. Totally. In Jude 24 through 25, it says, to him who is able to keep you from falling. We say this in a lot of eulogies, a lot of endings of churches. Why is that so important? Because I can't keep me from falling. Just like we just read, I have to rely on Christ. It says, to him who is able. You understand? So if I say I trust in him, I'm going to do what he says, not what I think. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? I still remember my grandfather. There was something we had us doing when we were younger. And we go, okay, I got it. And we go do it. We mess it up. We come back. He go, now I'm going to tell you what to do. Just tell me a little bit. As we told, okay, I got it. We went to do it. And we kept messing it up. And we had to finish. It was, I can't remember what the job was, but I still remember that whole teaching of it. When we were really ready for him to go through it, and it wasted our whole day, he said, if y'all would have just listened to me, I would have gave you exactly what you need to do, and you would have been done with this 15 minutes. Now you messed it up, and you have to first clean that off, and something to do with painting or staining or something like that. But whatever it was, we ended up doing more work because we kept trying to do it. Right? We're so independent. And that's a great thing. Well, God was like, no, I need you to totally rely on me. How many of us try to get a piece of it so we can do the rest? God, if you just give me this, I'll take the rest from here. Right? I was telling you, like you heard in the order of my steps, as a dad, I knew I messed up because I did exactly that. I would use verses to support me in me being a dad. Only look back at it and say, Keith, being a dad means you 100% rely on God. Did y'all catch that? It wasn't meant for me to be everything in that. That's why he says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Why is that all so important for me to understand? It's him. I just have to trust in him. And trusting him is a lifestyle. It's not just something I say. And he's going to put you in predicaments to see if you truly trust in him. Think about in your life, okay? How many of us go, amen, God, I trust you. Now, he gave you something. He gave you a person. It could be in the family. It could be your finances. It could be a situation you're going through. It could be an illness. How did you deal with it? Well, the Bible said, so I. When you said that, that person is trusting God. When you went, well, I tried this. Well, I went to this. And then I prayed. And a lot of times we'll say, then I prayed after I did it wrong, right? After I did my own thing, then I prayed. And we think that fixes it. All praying is going to let me know is go back in the Bible and see where you messed up. Right? That prayer was meaningless. It was you didn't even follow me. And now you're praying? Amen? Oh, now you come to me? Is that how it works? All right? Now our gracious and merciful God still loves us, but he disciplines us. And this is what we need. So him, he's the one that's able to keep me from falling. Why do I then keep trying to keep myself from falling? Amen? And that's our problem. The Bible and the Holy Spirit warns us of things to come so we don't go astray. Why do you want to be in a word? So I understand what's coming. Remember it said nearsighted and blind? Okay. Reason why we are is because we read some of the word or don't try to understand all of the word. Bible study, how often should you be studying your word? Daily. Okay. No raising of hands. Do we do that? And I'm not talking about here and there. I'm talking really study the word to know it. That I can move on. Remember that one verse saying you should be teachers by now? There are certain portions of it that should be secondhand to everyone. Reason why it's not, reason why we're repeating is because we still devote most of our time to other stuff. Now, we're experts at other stuff. I've seen people who are excellent painters, people who are excellent at their job, excellent at singing, excellent at some talk. You know what I mean? They're all that stuff, man, because we practice that. We really put the time in. When it comes to God's word, we almost kind of do it to make ourselves feel good that we're doing it. Not with the purpose of, I have to get to know this. I remember that one time in one class I was taking, and the teacher was like, y'all mess up on this test, you might as well drop this class. And we were like, I have to. People come to my room, I got to know this. You know what I mean? Get out of my room. And I remember that whole pressure, and I'm like, why am I not doing that with the Bible? Why? Because we're like, well, if I don't get it, nobody else gets it. And we treat the Bible as a secondary thing. Look what it says in John 15, 26 through 16, 4. It says, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. Did y'all catch this? What he's saying is, remember, Jesus is the Word. Why is he telling us the Word so we will not go astray? Think about what he's saying there. As I read the Bible, it tells me where to go. I'm going to see some things like we do today, but if the Bible didn't sway from it, I stay on the path of the Bible, not of the path of times. When I see marriage changing, I stay on the path of the Bible. When I see how people raising their kids change, I stay on the path of the Bible. Y'all get what I'm saying? I told you what to do. Just keep doing what I told you. Not, well, people start changing and the world changed, God, and I know your word said this, but yeah, and that's what we did. And you watch our actions. That's why when I, you know, in counseling, especially in marriage counseling, I'll go over it and you give them exactly what the husband's supposed to be, what the wife's supposed to be, and all this other stuff. And you kind of get a head shake. Nobody doing it. Why? It's just not something that's done today. Headship of men is totally gone. You just don't see it. One, men are following that rule. It says the head of every man is Christ. That's gone. Totally gone. We think being the boss is lording over, and he already told us it's not. So that's gone. Then you have the understanding of submission of women, totally gone. Absolutely gone. Do you understand that? You know what I mean? Have no problem taking over. Always seeing I tell wives when they go over, take over. But I don't know, if I wouldn't have done that, this and this would happen. And I'm like, but what does the Bible say? I was like, I'm not saying what you were saying was wrong, but you wouldn't have taken over. You don't understand. If I wouldn't have said this and this, I'm like, that's you're missing it. And the reverence was on situation happening and not on God. Y'all catch that? So the man doesn't have the reverence to make sure, let me check with Christ. The woman doesn't have the understanding of he's the head. You understand that? And you see it in the actions, not the words. And that's just a good example of him saying, I told you this so you will not go astray. Because he's not going to go, yeah, I saw the situation. I know if you would have done, you would have lost money. And this would, God's going to go, so what did I tell you to do? Now explain to me the situation, telling me what I told you to do. You understand that? And the wife would have gone, okay, I seen the situation, but I have to recognize he's ahead, so I still better. The husband would have gone, you know what? I didn't check with Christ, so I better make it right. And I, y'all see where I'm going with this? All of it would have still been, I got to make it right by doing what he says. Y'all with me? Not, if I wouldn't have done this, the situation, and believe me, situations will turn out good, but you're still in a whole lot of trouble. In fact, you're in worse place. In a worse, because you didn't follow God. Satan make situations turn out well if you don't follow God. Think about that. I bet you that fruit was the best tasting fruit they ever had in their lives. That little bit of time they were there. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? So it seemed to work out, and it was the biggest disaster that ever happened in all of our time. Think about that. All right. So be very careful for, if I wouldn't have done this, did you do what God said? No, I had to. You got where I'm coming from? I heard men that said, I didn't read the Bible, but I made a decision. God is not impressed with you just taking control. God is impressed with you following his lordship. Women, he's never in you making the right decision. It is in that submission. So that's, you understand it. So that's why he's saying, I'm telling you so you don't go astray. It's saying 16:2, they will put you out of the synagogues. In fact, at a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. He was like, the people are going to be so warped, they were going to kill the disciples and thought they were doing something for God. Okay, it says they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. Did y'all catch that? So there are going to be people who sincerely think they're doing good. We see it in politics. We see it, once again, using the family. We sincerely think we're doing it. But why am I not? Because I didn't know the Father or Christ. That's the answer. Not, it turned out all right. I still have people who come, well, we did this and this, and I know it's not in the Bible, but it still turned out all right. No, it didn't. You still think you did a godly thing, even though you didn't do what God said. Does that make sense? Now, how many of us have done that? We've done stuff. We know it's not in the Bible, but it seemed like it turned out good. So God must have made it good, right? That last time they got water out of the rock, it was good because that's what they wanted, right? No. You saw what happened to Moses and his brother. God didn't go, well, they wanted water. I understand what you meant. No, he said, since you didn't show me, you know, to be irreverent in front of them, I gave them their water, but you will not cross over. And he's kind of like, I did all of this, but no, he understood. I really messed up. Do y'all see where I'm coming from? My answer isn't, how did it turn out? That's not what God's going to ask me. He's going to say, did you do what I said? Y'all get that? Big deal. When you keep that in your mind, did I do what he said? Then I'm good. And I've been in that case many times where I've done what he said, and I'm watching it, and it seems like everybody in the world's against you because you just did what he said, but what everybody else said turned out, and you're sitting there going, and then you kind of back off, and you're just like, and it is a lonely feeling, and that's why Christians better have a relationship with God, or you'll be one of the stumbling blocks, like these people who are killing the Christians, thinking they're doing something for God, because it turned out. Once again, walking by faith, not by sight. Did y'all get that? That's a very important part of this. This is where sight has really messed us up today because we're doing a lot of things that look godly, Because we're not knowing God. Amen? Okay. Christianity is not just something you say, it's a lifestyle, the right lifestyle. Hebrews 10, 35-39 says, so don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. So now, the start of that is so important to us, because when we do stuff down here as Christians, and it doesn't turn out well, I know we get that feeling of, I'm so tired of doing exactly what you say, God, and I'm not getting rewarded. He says, don't throw it away. Why is he giving us to encourage? This is godly encouragement. Oh, I know. Just keep doing it. That's what he's saying to us. Like I told you, when we finally receive the final rewards, we're going to go, oh, and that's all I had to do, and I get all this. But that's when I show faith, you understand? But I got to live in a way, understanding I'm living until he says otherwise. You're going to still feel frustrated. You're going to still feel angry. But he said, don't throw it away. Don't stop doing it. Like, in other words, I've seen Christians who were really good Christians. Incidents or an incident happen, and they're gone. And it's like, that's a shame. Well, they got tired of it. They got tired. And you hear them say things. And you're like, why would God allow that to happen? No, no. God didn't allow it to happen. God gave them everything. They were not living for God. It was just time to show. Does that make sense? So he's telling you, don't throw it. Like we read earlier, blessed is the man who doesn't fall on the account of me. He says in verse 36, watch this. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Keep going, he's saying. Right? Persevering, and why he uses the word persevere, because persevere, I would, if you were doing something and it was all working well, I wouldn't have to tell you to persevere. Am I right? Right? If I'm eating a bowl of ice cream, you have to, don't tell me to keep eating. No, I'm going to keep eating. Now, if I had to go do a run, and I'm ready to quit, somebody, keep going, man. That's persevering. Persevering is, no, keep doing it. But it hurts, and I'm tired, and it's not working. Keep doing it. That's persevering. Do you understand that? And you don't want to get to the point where, I'm okay. You ever hear people, when they get to that point, they get to the I'm okay pay, and we think that's good. No, that's still not God. Don't say, well, I felt better. No, it feels good when you're fighting and beating the body. When I'm not okay, but I'm still doing it. That's when you know. You know what I'm saying? I still don't want to, strongly don't want to, and I'm still doing what he says. That's perseverance. Perseverance is, it doesn't bother me anymore. He's like, okay, wait till you get to the next level. It's a whole nother level. Do y'all get this? All right, so be careful when we get caught up in that. He says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. He says, for in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous ones will live by faith. Now, look what he just said there. He says, I'm going to know who mine are because this is what they're going to be doing. Think about that. I'm going to know who they are because this is what they're going to be. What he didn't say was the good people of the world. No. Only God is good. We already understand that. The people who really tried and they sincere. Every person who has a religion, they're sincere and they're really trying. But they're not. They're going in the wrong way. He says, the ones I know, they'll be the ones living by faith. That's why he says, my righteous ones, those are going to be ones living by faith. That's what he says. And that's why I put that in bold to let you understand. It's, even though I said it, it's going to be displayed. Christianity is a lifestyle. He says, my righteous ones live by faith. And look what he says here. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Now, he even implies something here a little later. He says, but we who are those who shrink, we are not of those who shrink back and are what? Did y'all catch that? All right. He was like, as Christians, no, I'm not shrinking back. Because if I shrink back, all right. What he didn't say was, once you're saved, don't worry about it. You can't. Nothing's going to happen to you. No, he says, because if I shrink back, that's mean where I'm a Christian and then I go astray. You don't just keep the remnants of Christianity. That's what we're teaching people. And you have people that have been away from the church and doing nothing with God, but they'll tell you they're a Christian. And then we have funerals and we say they're going to heaven. It's not what the Bible completely says. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? It's going to be those who persevere, who live by faith. Do y'all get this? Who overcome until the end, as the Bible says. He says, we are not the ones who shrink back and are destroyed. It says, but of those who believe and are saved. And belief, if you remember the ingredients of belief, is faith put in action. Okay, if you didn't know that. All right, when you hear the word believe, it's me having believing what he said or having faith in what he says and then doing it. That's belief. Okay, and that's why Abraham, if you want to know where I got that from in James 2, Abraham was shown righteousness because he believed. And his belief didn't come from him saying, God, I believe. It's when he said, okay, go take your son and sacrifice him. And he went through that whole entire practice and he showed belief. He had faith in God and did what God said. A lot of us have faith, but without works. And then it's what? Dead. Because then it doesn't turn into belief. We'll read this last one and then we'll close. We have to live an alert life in order not to fall. An alert life. We're very passive. One of my steps is going to kind of go over distractions, God willing. 2 Peter 3:17 through 18 says, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard. Now, you'll get a lot of verses where he says, be alert, be on your guard, like he says here, watch. You know, why is he saying that? Because that's our responsibility. He was like, check. Now, it doesn't mean I'm watching in the way the world does and being alerted by things I'm seeing. Watch stuff and really watch it. You'll get to know people. And like I said, there are people I knew that said all the right things, but no fruit. But I wouldn't have known it if I didn't watch. And I would have trusted, or I would have given in, and I would have been in trouble. You know, we get easily charmed and misled, even though he gives us all the things we need for our protection. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? Okay? So he says, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the errors of lawless men and fall from your secure position. He's basically saying, if I am not careful, I'm going to hear something and go, wow. Have you ever heard a message or something like that and it just made you feel and you're like, wow. And you felt great about it. And until later on in life, or until it messed up, or until it got confused, where you realize, well, for years I believed it because it really made me feel good. And like I said, a lot of ministers, they are motivational speakers. And they do it to motivate you or carry you away. It's not a good motivation. It's to carry you away. And it says, and to carry you away in errors. They'll say stuff that God didn't say, but they'll make it seem like that God said it. And you'll go, oh, so I don't have to do that anymore? Oh, so it doesn't matter if I do this? Oh, so I don't have to? You haven't come. Your people let a person tell them they don't have to instead of going, where's that in the Bible? You show me in the Bible, then I'll stop or I'll start. But until you show me it, I hear what you're saying. It didn't end. He says, verse 18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. There's that grace and knowledge, which is relationship, our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Any questions? All right. Let us pray.